As I was preparing over the last a couple of weeks for this particular message, I've been kind of dialoguing how God would have me to present what I feel like he's laid on my heart to say to our congregation today. And I got a lot of different scriptures kind of going on. But I do believe before we get to the finish line today with this message that you're going to find yourself encouraged and hopefully motivated. Everybody say motivated. Motivated to take that encouragement that you get from God and his word and go out into this world and hopefully be a refresher. You know, it's hard to be a refresher if you're yourself if you haven't been first refreshed. Come on. Come on. It's hard to refresh the world around you, and the world's always pulling against you. It's hard to be that great refresher unless you're first and foremost a refresh. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. You know, the Bible tells us something in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. It says, after God finished creating the heavens and the earth and all the things in the earth, it says, then God looked over all he had made after he put everything in it, and he saw that it was very good. How many of you know that God is into environment? Come on. He's into environment. Environment matters to God. In other words, God spent a whole lot of time creating the environment and put a whole lot of stuff in the earth before he even put me or you here. And the reason God created this incredible environment that he put the first humans in was so that he could reside, or he could walk with those humans and be present with those humans, and then the humans could be his image bearers and permeate him throughout the earth. But God spent a lot of time creating the environment. The Bible goes on to tell us in Exodus chapter 40, verses 33 and 34, that God, when he brought the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt, and he began to take them into the promised land, that he had Moses, the leader, to build a tabernacle. And it says it this way in Exodus 40, once Moses spent all of this time paying attention to all the details, Moses at last finished the work. It says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In other words, God told Moses, he says, every detail of this tabernacle matters. And it's amazing, it's remarkable to go to Exodus 40 and look at all the details that God gave Moses to give the people in order to create an environment where he would reside with those people and he would be present with those people, and then together they could have communion or have relationship, have community with God. Then they could go outside of that place and begin to permeate the area with his presence. Atmosphere matters to God. In other words, God wants to reside in an atmosphere that understands who he is, that's in relationship with him, and then that atmosphere takes on what he desires for that atmosphere to take on, and then his presence comes into that atmosphere and begins to permeate the earth. Now, the Bible says that those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, that God lives in us. Have you ever thought about that? The very God of the universe lives in you. In other words, he cares about the atmosphere. He cares about you, he cares about where he lives, and he cares about what you're doing with him in your presence. And today we're gonna talk a little bit about how to be atmosphere architects. In other words, pay attention to the atmosphere, because see, God does incredible things. His power and his presence shows up whenever the atmosphere is paid attention to. And today we're going to talk about how to pay attention to the atmosphere where God resides. So many people miss what Christianity is all about. Christianity isn't just about you being forgiven of your sin. Christianity is about being forgiven and coming into a right relationship with your Creator and letting that Creator speak to your heart and give you unique gifts to get back to doing what he originally designed you to do. And when God created the first man and the first woman and placed them in the Garden of Eden, what's remarkable is God created that space. He created it with great order. And he gave the human beings, both the man and the woman, an assignment. They were to steward that particular place, and they were to steward the earth and permeate God's presence throughout the earth. They were to be in relationship with him. And the assignment hasn't changed, my friend. In other words, God is a God of order. He likes order. He doesn't always reside in chaos. Though God can come into chaos and make order, God desires order. And God doesn't only desire order, he desires a relationship with us and us to have a relationship with each other. And then God expects us, his people, to steward what he has placed in our hands and permeate his presence throughout the earth. But if we're gonna do that, we have to pay attention to what's going on around us. Listen to what the scripture says in Matthew 6, verse 10, as Jesus taught his followers how to pray. He tells them to have respect for God. But I find this to be remarkable. He says, when you pray to God, you pray this way. Tell God, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about that particular passage of scripture? What he's saying is invite God to have his will done here on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God, would you allow me to commune with you and bring up there, down here? That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, invite God to speak into your life, work in your life, flow through your life, and bring up there, down here. That's the assignment of the church, by the way. The assignment of the church is to bring the good news of who God is and bring up there, down here. In other words, bring the goodness of God into this earth and begin to transform anything that isn't of God. It is to be in the earth and permeate the earth with his presence. We're image bearers of the God of the universe. We're not God, but we're image bearers of God, and we're to permeate this earth with his presence wherever we go. We're to change the atmosphere. We're to be atmosphere architects. You ever met anybody that can change the atmosphere? Moms are really good at it, aren't they? I mean, think about it. You don't want to clean your room, and mom steps in. And you know what? She gets a little fired up with you, and she changes the atmosphere, right? And you get busy cleaning your room. You know, this is how it begins to work. I mean, bosses can change atmospheres. Employees can change atmospheres. People can change the atmosphere by stepping in, and either we can either lift the atmosphere or we can pull it down. And God encourages his church to be encouragers, to be refreshers. In other words, bring goodness into the atmosphere and lift the atmosphere, not beat it down. Encourage each other in this journey, in this Christian journey. So today, we're gonna talk a little bit about how to do that. And if you got your Bibles, I'm gonna invite you to turn it over to Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus told a series of stories that I think can really apply to us doing this and being the church that basically transforms the atmosphere, being a people who bring God into the atmosphere and not being, you know, ones who push God out of the atmosphere. Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33 says this. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he says, here's another illustration. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come, and they make their nest in its branches. In other words, he says, bring it up there, down here. It can start out small. But what it does, it begins to grow, it begins to permeate, it begins to multiply, it begins to produce. And as it produces, it becomes like a large plant in the garden where the birds can find rest. He says, that's what the kingdom is to look like here on earth as it is in heaven. He goes on to say it this way. He says it in another way in verse 33, Jesus also used this illustration. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. So I think we begin to get the picture of what God is saying here. In other words, he sent Jesus into the earth, the perfect one, to forgive us of our sin, to transform us, to change us. And it was going to start small, but it was to grow, and it was to produce, and it was to multiply, and it was to bring the goodness of God throughout the earth. In other words, we have a purpose to bring God into the world. And it may start small in our life, it may start small in our community, but if we steward it, we have the right relationship with God, and we believe that God has a purpose and a plan for our life, it can begin to transform the community. In other words, God wants to put himself in every single individual's life. And so Jesus goes on and he tells some more stories about seed. And this is the one we're going to look at today. But he says it this way in Matthew 13, verses 3-9. He says, listen. He says, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some of the seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds, they came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. It says, the seeds that sprouted, they sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns, they grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. He says, anyone who has ears should hear and listen and understand. So Jesus goes on, he interprets this particular story a little bit later in the passage. But what's interesting about this story, he says, the seed in the story represents the word of God. And more or less, if you study the four souls, they represent people's heart, and it's a condition of people's heart, the atmosphere of people's heart. But what's interesting about this story is the seed, the goodness of God's word, is 100% good all the time. But depending on what atmosphere or what soil that seed is planted in determines whether it'll grow and produce. And so what I gather from that particular passage of scripture, we can all look at the condition of our own heart. But really what we're to do is pay attention to the condition of where Jesus has placed us. And he's given us this good seed, the word of God. And we're to sow that everywhere we go. But we can also cultivate the soul or cultivate the heart so it's receptive to the good seed or the good word of God. So it germinates and grows. What's the use in preaching the good news or sharing the good news if it doesn't transform somebody's life and produce something out of their life greater than what was put into their life? In other words, why would we even come to church? Why would we be the church? Why would we do good deeds? Why would we do anything on this earth if we didn't desire for it to produce something in somebody's life, work in their life, and produce something out of their life? In other words, we're people who are planting the seeds of the good news, but we gotta pay attention to the environment. We gotta pay attention to where we're planting the seed. And again, we can't see the condition of everybody's heart. But what we can do is we can cultivate relationships and cultivate the atmosphere where we're planting the seed. And hopefully when that seed falls, it falls on a heart that's receptive to the seed. But if we're gonna do that, we gotta pay attention to where we're placed and where we're planting the seed. Again, it's not just standing here with a microphone, it's paying attention to what is surrounding us and what is around us. And so today I wanna kind of take this passage of scripture and I wanna dive into it because I do believe that God has called us to be a church and the church at large to be these atmosphere architects and produce something great for his kingdom's sake. In other words, we're speaking into people's life not to just make their next week better, but to help them understand and connect to the living God be forgiven of their sin, connect to him, and get on with what they're designed to be and do in the world. But everything around us and other people is causing this utter chaos. And I want you to know that the enemy, he doesn't want order, he wants chaos. I want you to know that the enemy doesn't want you to steward the gift that God has placed in you. He wants you to neglect the gift so the world's not changed. I want you to know the enemy wants disunity. He doesn't like unity. I want you to know the enemy sows discord, seeds of discord, in a community of believers so that we don't fulfill our purpose and do what God's designed us to do. And so in order to be atmosphere architects, the first thing we have to do, I wrote it down this way, is we have to receive and we have to commune with God so we can receive from God. Because the truth of the matter is you can't pour out of an empty cup. In other words, you can't pour the goodness of God out if you haven't received the goodness of God in your own life. If you're not communing with God on a regular basis and filling up with God things in your life, then how do you pour it out and produce anything and change the world? And so you gotta pay attention to your own heart first, and you gotta let God do something in your own heart and work something in your own heart and work the seed of the good news in your own heart so that your heart can produce something great for his kingdom. See, God doesn't only change our actions. God changes our attitude. God transforms attitude, actions, and abilities. In other words, he gives you abilities. The Bible calls them spiritual gifts. And the reason he gives that spiritual gift to you is so that you can join that up with other people who have spiritual gifts. And together, everybody say together, we can come together and produce the goodness of Jesus in the world. And a lot of people get discouraged because they're trying to be Jesus by themselves. And we have never been called to be Jesus by ourselves. Jesus was the fullness of God. He is the head of the church. He is the one that we seek and desire and come under. But see, he gives different attributes to his people. The Bible calls it spiritual gifts. And some of us are wearing ourselves out and we're producing nothing because we're trying to do everything and we refuse to connect with his people and together change the world. And see, if you're trying to do it all on your own and all by yourself, you're missing God's great plan. Did you know he created both man and woman in the garden? The Bible says he created Eve to be Adam's helpmate. In other words, they are to work together in permeating God's presence in the world. They were to be communed. They both were uniquely created, both male and female, with unique attributes and to fit together in a unique way for God's great plan. And nothing is different about what God does in his church spiritually. He uniquely gives gifts to each and every one of us to put together with the other gifts to permeate this world with his amazing presence. But the question is, are you taking your gift, I call it the attributes or abilities that God has given you, and do you have the right attitude with those abilities? Are you trying to multiply and build his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven? See, that's having the right attitude. And then it's taking those abilities by faith that God has given you, and it's having the right attitude, and then having the faith to put them into action. That's what faith is. Faith isn't something you just say. Faith is stepping towards what you believe God is doing through you. In other words, it's saying, God, I believe. I'm a human being. I'm created by you. I'm forgiven by you. I'm brought into your family. I'm brought into your church. I'm brought out of darkness into the wonderful light. And the reason I'm brought out is because you have a unique purpose for my life. And that unique purpose is to join up with other believers and be planted in a community to permeate your presence and spread it throughout the earth. And God, I want to uniquely use my gift along somebody else's gift. I respect their gift. I'm going to become in community with that group of people. And together, we're going to change the world. Together, we're going to bring up there, down here. And it's continually getting underneath God's feet in God's presence and remembering who you are. You belong to the Most High God. You were created by him, and you were created for him, and you're created to be in a relationship with him and other human beings. And together, God is going to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to change the world. But not only do we need to commune with God and receive from God, we also have to know the context that we're placed in. This is huge. Because the message of Christ and what he's did for humanity, that message never changes. It never changes. It is what the Word of God says it is. However, the method of how we share that message needs to continually change. I'm going to give you what we call Foreign Missions 101 today, okay? And let me explain that to you. If you go into a different culture outside of America, even if you go in a different culture outside of Myrtle Beach, the context is different. In other words, if you go overseas into a different region, the context of where those people live, the language is different. Even how they gather together probably looks different. And what you have to do is you have to contextualize, that's what we call it, contextualize the seed, the good news, and recognizing that is a good seed and it's good everywhere you plant it. But you study the atmosphere, you contextualize the gospel, and you put it into the culture where it germinates and roots and grows up and produces something. The man who wrote many of the letters in our New Testament, he started churches that reproduced all over the world. His name was what we call the Apostle Paul. And he was a master at this, contextualizing the gospel, contextualizing the good news of who Jesus is, studying the culture and planting it in the culture where it could be received and grow and reproduce. He would go into somewhere that was predominantly Jewish, and guess what he would use? He would use Judaism in order to contextualize the gospel so that it could take root and grow up in somebody's heart about the good news of who Jesus is. He would go into a Greek culture, Acts 17. Go read it. He would go into that culture, and he would even use what they worshiped as foreign gods, statues all over the city. He used those things that was in their culture to introduce them to what he refers to inscripted on one of the statues, the unknown God. He used their statue in order to introduce them to the good news of who Jesus is. In other words, he contextualized the message of the seed wherever he was. My friend, I need you to know, even in generations, we have to contextualize things. We don't change the message. We just put it in a context and we deliver it where it germinates and takes root and grows up and produces something out of somebody's life. And a lot of people miss this, like, well, no, they're caught in religious rhythms. In other words, it has to be done the same way. It's always been done. And again, Jesus did things differently all the time. When he engaged with people like fishermen, guess what he talked about? Fishing, catching fish. When he engaged with a farmer, guess what he talked about? Growing crops, planting seed. When he engaged with tax collectors, guess what he talked about? Talked about money, collecting taxes. You know what? All of those variations of things. Jesus contextualized the message. He is embodiment of God, but he contextualized the message even to bring it to human beings. Wow. He got in our context. He put on skin. God is spirit, but he put on skin. So it could make sense to us and it could come alive in our heart. And so if we're gonna be atmosphere architects, it's one thing to have the seed put into our life and get underneath God's rule and reign and let him continue to pour in so we can pour out. It's another thing to understand what field we're pouring it in, where we're pouring it, and breaking those barriers down in order for other people to receive that good news, because the goal is what? To bring up there, down here, reproduce. As the Bible says, it make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. And most people think of discipleship as a program instead of a life. See, what a disciple is a student. And those students are to come alongside of the good word of God inside of you. And you're to pour that in through the gifts that God has given you. And together, remind people, remind the whole of our grand purpose. And it's growing the kingdom. The kingdom is to grow. Jesus says it will start small, as little as a seed, but it is to permeate the whole batch of dough. It is to permeate and grow large where people can find rest. The kingdom of God is coming here as it is there, and God's using us to change the world. The next thing I wrote down about this is, if we're gonna be atmosphere architects, we can only understand the context. We can't only receive a good word from God, but we also have to connect with others. This is the hard part. This is really what local church is all about. I know some of your own online church. I get it. But see, it's impossible to change the world. You can listen to a great message. You can hear great music. You can go to the concert. You can do all of that. But there's something about being with the body of Christ, being with the local church, using your gifts and letting somebody else use their gifts. And together, God changes communities. He changes families. He changes cities. He changes the world through people who connect and use the various gifts that God give them, the ability and respect the gift of others. Honor all the gifts is what the Bible says. Honor them all, whether they seem to be gifts that aren't really seen as much as others. The Bible says we're to honor all of those gifts. And the reason we're to honor all those gifts, because it takes all the gifts for Christ to reproduce who he is in the world. And so God's inviting you to be a part. He's inviting you to connect to a local church. He's inviting you to use your gift and let other people use their gift to encourage you on your journey, because it's impossible to produce a crop by yourself. And I'm learning this on my journey. I'm learning this on my faith journey. I'm learning that, you know what? I have to lean into others a whole lot more than I personally want to sometimes. In other words, I have to depend on others, because really, I'm just not that good at all of these things, and I can't grow it by myself. I can't do it by myself. And it's by God's design. You know why? Because it begins to snuff out this idea of pride. It begins to snuff out and realize, look, you know what? I really suck at that. But the reality of it is we can still do it, because she's good at it, he's good at it, and together we can change the world. You know, again, I understand what my title is here. I get it, okay, all that stuff in this culture. I'm Pastor Clay and all these great things. But in reality, I'm more of the guy who's like, let's go, let's get it done, you know, or whatever else. You want Pastor Kim rubbing your hand beside the bed or whatever, because, you know, she's more of that pastoring kind of person, I guess. Or Pastor Richard, he's awesome. He's incredible. And I'm not negating, I can do those things. I'm just probably not as good at it as somebody else. And so, you know, I want to be using my gift. I want you to use your gift. But again, together we have to change. We have to change the world. And again, I was talking to somebody earlier in the service. They said their brother is a pastor somewhere in another state, and he's got three funerals to do today. He's got a message to preach today, and somebody wanted him to come dig a plant out of their yard this afternoon because it represented somebody's life or something. I'm like, what? And again, not knocking that, but the challenge is, they said, would you pray for my brother because he's wore out? And I'm like, I understand he's probably tired, and he's wore out, but maybe he needs to let somebody else preach a funeral while he preaches the word. Maybe somebody else could go dig that plant out of that lady's yard to help her instead of him feeling like he has to do it. See, here's the challenge. Is it's hard sometimes for us to let other people's gifts come alive, isn't it? Because we don't do what Colossians 3:23 says. And I wanna put this in perspective today. The writer here says this, he says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Wow. Work willingly at whatever you do, as you're working for the Lord and not for people. In other words, here's the deal. Are we trying to impress others by what we can do for God? Or are we using what God has given us, putting it together with others, and we're working together with others, producing glory for God because it's God at work in us instead of us working for God. It's God working in us and through us. It's a big difference. And again, you know what? God wants to use people in a powerful, powerful way. He wants you to pay attention to every detail. He cares about every environment. But what he wants us to do is join our hearts together to do great things in the world. And this is the fallacy of the church. The church doesn't oftentimes, you know, honor the other gifts and put them into perspective and say, let's together change the world. Serving the community, doing good things, all these kind of things. Everybody's gift can come alive. And again, we don't get it perfect. We screw it up all the time here. But we're striving to be a church where we are worshiping God together through our attitudes, through our actions, and through our attributes. It's taking all three of those things and bringing God into the community. Why are we gathering here tonight? We're gathering here tonight to worship Jesus. We're gathering here tonight to sing some songs. We're not just gathering here tonight to do a concert and cut on the lights. We're gathering here so we as a community can come together, so God's presence resides with us and he began to do something special in our life. And again, I invite you out tonight at 6:30 to be with us here at this worship experience, because it's gonna be a night of worship. It's gonna be a night of singing songs. But our prayer is that God would come into our heart, my heart, your heart, and together we could come together as a community and begin to expose who he is to the world around us, producing a crop 30, 60, some 100 times greater than what's planted in us. Can you imagine? Do you see thousands of people coming to know who Jesus is? Do you see generation after generation being transformed and growing up into who God says that they can be? Because that's the vision. The vision is to grow. The vision is to produce. The vision is to pass on and permeate this earth with God's goodness. And we invite you into that today. So come tonight. Hang out with us at 6:30. It's going to be an incredible, incredible evening. And may God continue to bring up there, down here, as we submit ourselves to him. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray today for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. God, I pray that we would come underneath your rule and reign and your leadership. Jesus, we thank you for coming for us. We thank you for putting on skin, dying on a cross, and reconnecting us to God and forgiving us of our sin. I pray today as we're forgiven of the penalty of sin in our life, God, we would begin to operate out of your power, power of the resurrection. We begin to recognize what Jesus is doing in us as he changes our attitude, our actions, and our attributes. May we work together, God, to produce a great crop. And God, may we pay attention to the soil around us, to the field around us, and may we plant the seed in a place, God, where it begins to grow in a powerful, powerful way. And God, I pray we would sow seed everywhere. We would do what we're designed to do, but God, we would begin to make you and produce an incredible, incredible harvest as you begin to use us to reproduce and permeate your presence throughout this earth. God, if there is one here today that has stepped away from you or has never stepped into a relationship with you, God, may today be the day that they come back. Jesus, may today be the day that they receive what you did on a cross, receive that forgiveness, and begin to operate underneath your amazing power. God, if they're confused and they're living in chaos and they're not living for your glory, God, I pray today would be the day that you get a hold of their heart. You bring them back in. God, they repent and return to you. God, you're an amazing God and you want to do amazing things through your people if we'll submit and begin to follow through with what you've designed us to do. And Jesus, we pray you'd give us the spirit of audacity, the spirit of praise, the spirit of honor and using what you've given us to make a difference in this world. And may we bring up there, down here, and may we change the world. We pray it in your holy name. Amen.